John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
And great to be back with Sean Salisbury. Sean, great to be with you. And how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I've recovered from, I had COVID-19 for about 21 days. And recently, the last couple of days, I just got my smell and taste back after about 3 weeks without it. So, doing well and safe and healthy, and glad to be on with you again, my friend. Hopefully getting closer to that time.
Absolutely, no question about it. And I'm glad you made it through, so I'm glad these last couple of days have been good, because I know for the first 17, it was pretty tough.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. I mean, it affects others. Unfortunately, I don't have any pre-existing other than a bunch of surgeries from football and sports, but I was able to get through and had every symptom probably, John, except I didn't throw up. And I know nobody likes to hear that on the radio, but I was nauseous and went through them all, but, you know, got a lot of vitamin D and tried to keep myself as busy as I could and keep people around me safe and respect them with a mask and, you know, social distancing and doing the right thing. But this is one of those things that a lot of people are going to get it, and hopefully we don't spread it and you're respectful and use some common sense. But I was fortunate I didn't have to go to the hospital. But it lingers a little bit, and you got to take care of yourself. I still have some nasal infection from it that still bothers me. But you know what? All in all, considering other people are going through far worse, I'm forever grateful that I'm healthy and good and got my energy back. It's good to be on with you, and I bless those people that are going through it and that they'll be okay too.
Okay, so what was your reaction to Patrick Mahomes? I mean, my heavens, that was a phenomenal.
Well, Johnny, you remember when you come on my show too, I'd asked you about probably it was probably 2 months ago, if we would have a $50 million guy. And you were trying to figure out, because I even asked you because of the numbers you know how to run and all the insight you have, and you thought it was semi-unfathomable just because of salary cap. Well, good gracious, this is different. This is, and other quarterbacks trying to compare themselves, you know, whether it's Dak or Watson or Lamar when his time comes up or anybody else, this is rarefied or this is different. It's like you got Mike Trout, and then you got everybody else when it comes to money. I mean, as good as Mookie Betts is going to be, and as much money, even if this was a full season, much money as he would get on the open market, he wouldn't sniff Trout money. It's the same here. As good as Deshaun or some of these players are that are young and under 25, they're not going to get this. This is different. But why not, John? I mean, it's unbelievable, but you commit to a long-term guy, because we complain when guys don't want to be loyal and commit. Well, he wasn't dragged through the media. Lee Steinberg kept it private, as always, and the Chiefs kept it private. Patrick Mahomes kept it private. And then it's on us. Oh, my gosh, a 10-year deal. This is stuff we don't normally see and probably won't see again for a while because it's football. But I get why the Chiefs did it. I think it's a win for them. Patrick Mahomes, $503 million later, and who knows how much more he'll make. And he's as easily, you know, as far as to sell to the public, as far as a lovable guy, a charitable guy, a great player, even a better human being. And I say sell talking about that you can, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever your product you want to endorse, Mahomes is a great spokesperson for. I love him. Love him off the field, love him on the field. And he is special. And, John, he hasn't even sniffed how good he's going to be. He really hasn't. He has not sniffed how good he's going to be, because when he understands coverage even more with Andy Reid, a great coach, and that structure, and then allow him to do his thing, wait till he understands defenses in 5 years, how good he's going to be. I love the deal for him. I love the deal for the Chiefs. I think this is good, but I would caution anybody to think this is going to be a regular occurrence when it comes to 10-year deals.
No, no doubt about it. Let's get going with four downs.
Speaking of 10-year deals, are 10-year contracts in sports ever a good investment for either side of a negotiation?
I personally think if you get them young, meaning at this age. Now, when you go to a guy and he's had like 9 good years, and then at 28 or 29, you say, hey, let's do this. Let's sign another 10-year deal, which ends up being 12 because he's got 2 years left. Normally, I'd say no. But we do have aberrations, and you know, that's not the norm. But every now and again, we hear what the term we overuse is, oh, it's a once-in-a-generational player. Well, we've got some great quarterbacks, but Mahomes is a cut above everybody. I mean, he's been in an AFC championship game, almost got to a Super Bowl. He's won a Super Bowl, been Super Bowl MVP, been the regular season MVP, thrown 50 touchdowns. He'll throw for 5,000 yards, you know, all those things, and he's got everybody still back on his team. So I don't think it's the norm. And then usually on the surface you say, this isn't a good idea. But when he's done with this, he'll be about 36 years old. And look at Rivers, Brady, Breeze, Aaron Rodgers, how good a football they're playing at this stage of their career. I'm not worried about Mahomes. As long as he stays healthy, he will more than outlive this contract when it comes to out-earn this contract. I like the deal. I like commitment from both sides.
Yeah, I'm not a big advocate of the 10-year deal either, but they had to do something tricky because, you know, with the cap not going up next year and possibly coming down, you had to try to figure a way. It's like, okay, fine, we're going to shorten what you're going to make because he basically is going to make the same money the next 2 years that he was scheduled to make. But the difference is that, you know, now you start making it up on the back end when the TV contracts start hitting in and try to find a way to keep it at, you know, 15 to 14% under the a cap as far as what the cap value is each year. You know, I think in a lot of ways, he's very well going to have an outdated contract about six years in because, I mean, Deshaun Watson, you figure he's going to get close to $40 million, and you know now he'll have a chance, just like Dak Prescott, if he gets a deal done, to get a second shot at it, and they're all going to be shooting over the $45 million a year mark. So it's good. That's why it's amazing to think that he did this, and it's really considered to be a team-friendly deal.
Second down, who is under more pressure in 2020 to win in New England, Bill Belichick in his first year without Tom Brady or Cam Newton?
I would say more pressure. Now, Bill will put plenty of pressure on himself, and regardless of what anybody says, Tom wants to win without – I mean, they loved winning with each other. It may have been a, you know, not the funnest time for 20 years, I mean, because they grind, and that grind can wear on you, but the respect factor they have for each other. But there's no doubt. Tom wants, it's just like, you know, when Shaq and Kobe, when they break up, of course you want to win a championship without the other guy to prove that you matter. Bill, and I mean, in any really those situations, yeah, I would imagine Bill wants to win one without Tom, and Tom wants to win one because we always ask, well, who's more important. But the key for them, why they want him, is they both realize the importance of each other and took care of their business and did the lonely work that some people don't do and put the time in. Okay, so it's different. I'm going to go with Cam Newton. Why? Because nobody was interested in him for the most part this offseason. It wasn't a big bidding war. He's coming in at a small salary considering what he would have made had he been healthy and normal. We're talking about a $25 million a year, $30 million a year talent or more if he's right. He's still, what, 31 years old? Belichick, when you've been to nine, you really have nothing to prove. Everything now is just a bonus. And people really don't expect them to be a Super Bowl caliber team because they're going to give him a day hall pass or a year hall pass, not only because of the COVID, but because Tom left. Just, you know, I think there's more pressure on Tom in Tampa than there is on Bill in New England in 2020. So I'm going with Cam Newton. He hasn't won a Super Bowl. People are questioning him. He's got a lot to prove. He's going to be pissed. They wonder how healthy he is, and they wonder if he can fit in this kind of structure. We're about to find out. Cam's not been in this type of structure, although Ron Rivera, structured guy. This is different. It's different. Just like Mahomes is different, going to be a Patriot's different. More pressure on Cam Newton. Belichick doesn't have anything to prove, although to him, still believe he has a lot to prove. That's why he's successful.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think there's still more pressure on Bill because, you know, Tom goes down to a team that hasn't been in the playoffs for nine straight years, and all he has to do is get a couple more wins and get a wild card, and it's a success. You know, if Bill drops down below Buffalo and doesn't make the playoffs, I think that makes him look bad because, again, you knew that the relationship with Brady, well, we didn't know it. We find out later that it was coming to an end. He got tired of it. They got tired of each other, and they moved on. But I think there's more pressure on Bill Belichick.
Third down, do you think the NFL ever returns to a four-game preseason after the 2020 season?
Absolutely not. I think there's more of a chance. We never have preseason game. Now, we're going to have two. But I think there's never a chance that we have – there's more of a chance we have no preseason in the future than four preseason in the future. Now, while the owners always want money and want to put people in stands and do all that, players, every single time a CBA or a negotiation or something comes up, they get paid more. Salary cap goes up. They do less. Not saying in their own private time, but – the camps, we no longer can practice 2 days in a two practice in a row in pads. We limit training camp, and they'll start to talk injuries and make sure people are safe. Oh, no, you'll never see four preseason games again. Two, and I'm going to tell you, they'll lobby for none. They'll want to do it like college. Come to training camp, do our thing, and let's hit the ground running. And you make teams on the practice field a lot of times during training camp anyway. I know that's a lot of where I did in my first time at CM, made the team because every day you were able to come through during practice and you had to count on every snap. That's how these coaches and people will start to evaluate. So while the games are there, it's the everyday practice field that gets guys to make teams. Trust me on that. And so I would say that you're going to see far less than more. You'll never see four preseason games again regardless. The players won't agree to it, and they won't allow it to happen.
Yeah, there's no question, because next year, to make up some of the lost revenue, you know that the league is going to implement a 17-game schedule because, you know, they can get good TV money for that one extra game per team. And so that's, you know, that's going to be in the market. And so that would take it down to two anyways. And I think the other thing that's going to happen is this will be the last year where they have 90-man rosters. I know that the players propose to take, you know, the rosters down to 80 by the start of training camp. And, of course, now you're cutting 10 players that you don't even have never met. So it's like, I don't know if that's going to go, but no, I think the last two preseason games, and yeah, very well could happen. There might not be any.
Fourth down, who is more likely to surpass the $40 million barrier next, Deshaun Watson or Dak Prescott?
Watson. As much, and I've been a, and Johnny, you guys know this, I've been a, even at times when people didn't buy in, I've been a Prescott supporter since he came out. He was my second favorite quarterback. The year he came out, I thought he should have been drafted higher. People asked for him to put up numbers because they thought, well, maybe he's just a system guy. Well, we saw the numbers last year. Now the next step for him is you got to not only get into the playoffs, but you got to run deep. This is the Dallas Cowboys. They expect the Aikmans and the Staubachs. That's what they expect. And it's been a long time since they sniffed the Super Bowl. And Prescott's going to get paid a lot. But to average $40 million a year, he's probably a couple years shy because Watson will start to get his talks this offseason. I think Watson and then Lamar Jackson after that, depending on what he does the next couple of years. But I think Dak will get close average-wise, but I think if anybody's going to get to the $40 million that's within the next 3 or 4 year range, I think Deshaun Watson would be before Dak Prescott. Deshaun Watson's a better player than Dak Prescott. Dak's really good, but if you said, Sean, pick one for the next 10 years, I'm taking Watson over Prescott. I think many in the league would. I'll take Deshaun Watson as the next $40 million a year guy, but he won't be the last.
Yeah, because I look at Watson is that this deal probably helps him because he might be able to squeeze out a little bit more than 40, maybe get 40 and a half or something like that, where Prescott is going to probably get a deal done. I think he will get a deal done somewhere around 35. So you're talking different numbers, but you're also talking two good quarterbacks, but one is better, and that's Deshaun Watson. And that's why, you know, they can see if Bill O'Brien can squeeze that into that tight cap where they have so many offensive players making so much money and having big cap numbers, but it won't be easy, but it's something that has to get done. But it's easy getting back with you, and it's great that you're getting back and getting healthy, and I'm looking forward to being with you on Friday.
I can't wait. It's great to be with you again, Johnny. I appreciate everything. You guys be safe there in Seattle, and we'll talk to you on Friday, and I'll talk to you on your show again next week.
Okay, sounds good. And you can listen to the show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by the Dubin Law Group. Coming up next, we get out the report cards. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the report card with the professor.
And it's time to get to the report card we do every day. We look at the good, the bad, the ugly, the smart, the stupid, what people say, what people do. We take the stories. We take the anecdotes. We take all the different social media comments, the voices, and we attach a grade to it. And I guess this is an easy one, Curtis Rogers, is that what kind of grade do we give Dexter Jackson, Deshaun Jackson for making the comment, really a real racial type of comment against Jews?
Yeah, I'm giving him about as big of an F grade as possible. Like, what are you thinking, Deshaun Jackson? Not a good look at all for him. He posted it to his social media. I believe it's since been deleted, but you can find the screenshots if you want to read it for yourself online. But
yeah.
Just an awful, awful thing that Deshaun Jackson sent out on social media. So hopefully the right penalty is levied in this situation. John, let's get to some fun stories on the report card. How about this one from Pat Mahomes' negotiation yesterday? It wasn't Adam Schefter who broke the news. It wasn't, you know, Ian Rappaport. It wasn't, you know, any of those guys who we come to expect to break the news of Pat Mahomes' big contract. No, it was one Katie Camlin, and you're asking who's that? She is a liquor store employee in the city of Kansas City, and how she found out about Pat Mahomes' signing is a member of the Chiefs front office came in and purchased six bottles of Dom Perignon And he said that there is a big signing today. He told this to the liquor store employee. She then asked if it was Chris Jones getting a contract extension. He said no, and then left it at that. So she then implied that it's probably a Pat Mahomes deal. And sure enough, it was Pat Mahomes' mega contract extension. So, John, how are we grading the detective work of liquor store employee Katie King?
Well, real good. But, I mean, how did we find out that she knew this? Did she put this, did she call in a radio station or tweeted
it out? She tweeted it out.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give her an A because she beat everybody to the punch on the biggest story of the week. And so one of the bigger stories of the year. So you have to kind of give her an A.
Yeah, I give her an A as well. That's just great detective work on her part. Getting those scoops, you always got to look in the places that no one else is looking. And certainly a Chiefs employee walks into your liquor store and asks for six bottles of Dom Perignon. I mean, that'll raise some eyebrows, and sure enough, she was able to get the scoop. So shout out to Katie Camlin there. John, on the report card, also sticking with the Mahomes extension, Mina Kimes of ESPN. She wasn't on the air when she found out about Pat Mahomes' contract, but she was setting up for a taping of Around the Horn, and they had their cameras rolling at the exact moment she found out about the Mahomes signing. So let's take a listen to Mina's reaction.
Wasn't even about... Oh, guys, the Chiefs and quarterback Patrick Mahomes just agreed to a 10-year contract. What? Okay, so...
How about that?
We're going to need
How
a second.
How about that? Yeah, let's digest this.
Mina stunned. Letting out some curse words John.
Yeah.
How are we grading her reaction to
give
the Mahomes extension?
I have to give it a D. I mean, it's like you ought to watch when you're on the air. I mean, I've known this from, doing, we're on the air live every day and, all the years at ESPN and all that stuff. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you've got to try to be professional about it, and then that's not emotional. I mean, certainly there's a lot of things that happen, but you got to watch your language.
Yeah, you always got to be aware of the hot mics. Luckily, she was not not live. It was a recording, so they were able to scrub that. But yeah, I mean, it was a move that I think a lot of people had a similar reaction to. Hers was just recorded, so shout out to Mina. I'll give her a B minus. I mean, it's understandable to have that kind of shock when you see those numbers come across your screen. 10 years. $503 million. It's unlike anything we've ever seen in sports before. So I'll give her a B minus.
Yeah.
John, also finally on the report card today, Kyle Seager, Mariners third baseman, mainstay of the Mariners lineup for the last decade or so. He was on a Zoom call this morning with members of the Seattle media and was asked about what it's been like, trying to keep in contact with players, teammates, and whatnot during this time of social distancing. Kyle Seager apparently does not have internet in his home, which has made things a little tough.
I'll have to, this is my first Zoom call, so I'll have to, I guess.
You'll become a fan
or something. Or I can't play, North Carolina, I don't have internet, so I couldn't download anything, so I don't have any way of doing that. So
stop
this
it.
I don't have that excuse up here.
He doesn't have internet at his home in North Carolina. John, it is 2020.
Yeah.
Can you imagine life without the internet?
No. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, that's at the D minus. It's like, first off, it's like communicating with people, no internet, watching, you're going to be able to watch TV. That just doesn't make any sense. I mean, what does he have, like a dial, the old rotary dial telephone and black and white TV? It's like, I mean, I know he's getting older, but I didn't think he's going to be that old school. I have to give him a D minus.
Yeah, Kyle, it's 2020, man. You got to get with the program. And especially, you can't access video conferencing without the internet. So
right.
you need that, especially when you're on a team and you're counted on the way he is with the Mariners lineup. Kyle Seager, I'm going to give him a D minus on that one because get with the program, man. Get with the times. I know it's nice to be able to unplug every now and then. I certainly enjoy putting the phone on silent and, leaving it in the bedroom or whatever, but you can't do that all the time.
No.
You got to be accessible at most hours of the day in this time. So Kyle Seager, D minus for him. That is it for today's report.
Hey, be sure to check out the professor's notes on 710sports.com. The professor's notes are brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at 5. Coming up next, we're going to take your text questions on the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line at 710-710. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The Professor, John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time to take your text questions on the Busy Hard Seltzer text line at 710-710. So, Curtis, what do we have?
John, from the 253, they want to know, would a Josh Gordon or Antonio Brown signing by the Seahawks hurt John Ursua's chances for playing time?
Yeah, you would think so, sure, because that now stacks up one more guy that would be ahead of him, particularly at a time where the expectation is they're going to use a little bit more two tight end offense, because then you can see how the rotation is going to go. I mean, the first two receivers on the field would be Tyler Lockett, who is one of the best slot guys in the league, and Ursua is a slot guy, and then you have DK Metcalf, and then you would have Josh Gordon and Philip Dorsett out there on the three-receiver set, getting some rotation. We'll see if Gordon comes in and David Moore stays on the team, and then you've got the idea that they might use some more two tight ends. So, yeah, Ursua would have a tougher time to get on the field.
From the 360, they want to know, do you think Chris Jones ends up being the first cap casualty for Kansas City of the Mahomes deal?
No, I mean, I think what will end up happening, I don't think he's going to be able to get a deal, because I don't know, after paying $45 million in a 10-year deal. Although, here's the interesting thing about this, because the more I keep looking at the contract, he basically is making the same money in the first 2 years of the deal. I mean, $27 million in the first 2 years, $27,631. And so, basically, he's taking the delayed entry to get the real money, because he's not getting a raise for the next 2 years. That does give the possibility for them to maybe jump up and see if they can get something at $21 million, because again, $20.1 million is what Chris Jones is worth, but it's still going to be tough to get that deal done.
From the 425, they want to know, of active coaches besides Bill Belichick, which ones do you think have the best shot at becoming Hall of Famers?
Well, I mean, I know this in August they're going to vote on the idea of getting the coaches category, and I think that's going to pass. I know I've been a big advocate pushing it for close to two decades, and if that happens, then I think what you can see is that Pete Carroll, Mike Holmgren, you can have Andy Reid, maybe Sean Payton. They're going to be in that front line once they get done with football to be able to get there. So I guess Pete would have a great chance. And so, yeah, I think that's the way it's going to probably go.
From the 253, they want to know, John, why did Russell Wilson not sign a contract as long as Pat Mahomes?
He was smart, because think about this, is that a couple of years now, Russell can go back and try to get another contract. And, that can probably top the $45 million that on the extension. So, no, I mean, it's a smart thing to do. And, that's one of the trade-offs. I mean, most of the deals for second contracts have been 4 years. And, like, for example, it wouldn't surprise me if Dak Prescott signs a four-year deal, Deshaun Watson signs a four-year deal. That means you still have eight more years left under the current deal for that they can maybe get one or two contracts and be able to top Mahomes.
From the 253, they want to know, John, which team would give Jadeveon Clowney the best chance to reach double-digit sacks?
I'd say Seattle, because, again, I don't see him getting it as an outside linebacker in a Tennessee 3-4. I guess maybe you can say that the Las Vegas Raiders might be able to be a team that could do it, because he'll be the main guy there as far as the pass rush. But I think, and again, the question is, can he get it? I mean, he's never been able to do it before. He didn't do it last year, and I know he's more double, but I think Seattle would give him the better chance.
From the 425, they want to know, John, what do you give the chances of Pat Mahomes playing out the duration of his 10-year deal?
I don't see why not. I mean, what this takes him to, 38 years old, and I would imagine, like most quarterbacks that are that good, you get a chance to play till you're that old. So I would have to think that he should be able to go the 12 years.
From the, let's see here, from the 206, they want to know, John, who do you think will be Seattle's starting running back come week one?
I think Chris Carson. I mean, he's their best running back. He's had 2,000-yard seasons, and, we've heard nothing to say that he's not going to be healthy enough. I mean, one injury, but I think he should be fine.
From the, let's see here, from the 206, they want to know, John, Do you think players will be able to get ready with no preseason, especially the rookies?
It's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough on all the rookies. I mean, particularly rookie quarterbacks. You know, it's going to be tough on first-year coaches. I mean, that's going to be one of the most difficult things you can do. So, you know, I mean, this rookie class. Now, again, I say that knowing that you look at 2011, it was such an exceptional group because, I mean, you had so many potential Hall of Famers. I mean, you got J.J. Watt and you got, you know, Von Miller. And you look at that group, and that was because of the lockout, they didn't have any offseason, and all those guys did well. But I think this group, this draft was not as talented as 2011, so I don't see it being any way, shape, and form that you're going to see a lot out of the rookies too early.
From the 509, good question here. Will there ever be another 2,000-yard rusher?
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be too tough. I mean, you know, there is more of an emphasis right now to try to run the ball. But, you know, it's hard to find that one back that's going to get the – because to get the 2,000, you almost have to have more than 320 carries, and it's hard enough to get one back to get 320 carries.
From the 206, John, they want to know, where would you rank Chiefs GM Brett Veach among the rest of GMs in the NFL?
Well, I mean, he's looking pretty good right now. I mean, you know, he was involved very much in getting – Patrick Mahomes, because you know he and Matt Nagy was on the staff as a quarterback coach, were the first two to really recognize Mahomes. So I think he looks good there, and you know, he's doing as good of a job as you can to try to keep the team together. I mean, he's the previous administration was able to get things with Tyreek Hill and that, but no, I think he's rising right now, and this was an interesting deal that he did.
From the 425, they want to know, John, could Mike Shanahan ever get Hall of Fame consideration?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I know that Denver just put him in the Broncos Hall of Fame, and you know, Shanahan very well could get in. And again, the holdup on coaches is the fact that you know, coaches go up against players, and players are going to win that battle. And so that's why I've been pushing for the separate category. But yeah, Mike Shanahan is definitely deserving.
From the, let's see, from the 503, they want to know, John, do you think the Browns are done pursuing Jadeveon Clowney after Olivier Vernon's contract restructure?
Yeah, it's over. There's no way that's going to happen because you know, you got $11 million now tied up in Olivier Vernon, and you're trying to do a deal on the other side with Myles Garrett. And so even though they have the cap room, there's no way to do it. I think what it came down to, and you know, they were certainly interested, but had they signed or got an agreement with Clowney, they were going to let Vernon go. He's in the last year of his contract. But now that they've got him on a one-year $11 million deal, there's no chance that they can do anything with Clowney. Just not in the cards.
206 wants to know, John, would the NFL have to move the draft in 2021 if college football gets played in the springtime?
You would think they would, but right now they say they won't. They want to keep the draft as it is, which I don't know if that's real advisable or not, but it's just the way it is. But in the end, we'll see. But, you know, let's put it this way. I don't think we have to worry about next year's April draft more so than you have to worry about the start of training camp and the season.
Yeah, let's get the season off the ground.
Yeah, priorities.
Yeah, the NFL season getting off the ground, I think, is top priority for the league and everybody involved with the league right now because the draft is so far away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think there's anybody right now in the NFL that's thinking about that, at least right now. John, from the 206, any new news on when Washington might decide on a new team name?
I'd say within a month, because they got to get something done before the start of the season. You know, that's why, you know, particularly knowing that if you're changing the name, you're going to have to change decals and everything else. And so I would have to think they've got to get something done within a month. Because Dan Snyder needs to get this resolved now, because you know it's holding up his chance to get a new stadium. He's got minority owners that don't want to they want to get out, and you've got right now sponsors that are trying to back out. So no, he needs to get a deal done in a month. Let's get that name down.
John, from the 253, they want to know which Broncos running back will lead the team in rushing yards, Melvin Gordon or Philip Lindsay?
Oh, it's going to be Melvin Gordon. I mean, they're not going to pay $8 million for Melvin Gordon and have him sit on the bench. I mean, that's just not going to happen. You know, so I don't know how they're going to distribute it, but you know, they did this for a purpose, and they paid him $8 million a year for 2 years, so he'll be the one to get the most carries.
206 wants to know, John, who do you think will be this year's NFC East champion?
I think it's Dallas, because what I look at is that they're pretty well loaded. They got about, 15, 16 players who have been to the Pro Bowl. They've got a good core group on the defense, young core group on the defense. They've got a great three-receiver group right now. And so I think, you know, Philadelphia can make it as a wild card, but Dallas right now I think has the big gap to be the division champ.
From the, let's see here, from the 360, John, let's wrap it with this one. They want to know, what kind of number would TJ Watt get on the free agent market?
I have to think that he's, you know, going to get in the $15 or $16 million a year range. You know, maybe he gets a little bit more than that. I mean, his franchise is in the 15, and he's an outside linebacker. That's why, for example, you know, if you're Jadeveon Clowney, you'd rather be a defensive end than a linebacker. And he was a linebacker in Houston, and you know, Tennessee is a 3-4 team, so he'd have to play linebacker. But I'd have to think, when you're looking at it, you know, Watt's, I think, going to get $15 to $16 million if they can squeeze that deal in.
Because I believe he can start negotiating that.
Yeah, he
soon.
Can. Yeah.
That is it for today's text questions.
Okay, and of course, we're going to come back with our Daily Dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the Professor John Clayton.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Time for our Daily Dose of the Groz with Dave Grosby. And so, Dave, we got the big deal from Patrick Mahomes. It came in literally as soon as the show ended yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it then. What was your reaction when you found out that Mahomes now is the highest paid sports athlete in NFL, or at least in sport here in the U.S. or whatever, at 14.5, he gets the, you know, $45 million a year?
Well, I mean, we'll see if it's, most of these deals don't last 10 years, so I don't imagine this one will, but it made sense to me. The guy has shown you just about everything. If you're going to commit a long-term deal to a guy, this seems like the guy you would make the commitment to. And understanding that NFL deals aren't completely guaranteed, and I've seen the breakdown of his deal, still the best deal for any quarterback. But obviously, you know, an MVP season, a Super Bowl champion in just his third year, it's hard to argue with the Chiefs' decision here.
No, it really is. And, of course, they had the trickiness trying to do it, and it's amazing to think. I mean, here's the highest deal in NFL history, and most people think it's a team-friendly deal. I mean, I guess the interesting part is, okay, the cap's not going to go up next year. It may go down, and so he basically, in the first 2 years of his contract, this year and next year, that he's basically making the same amount. So he's delaying the money till the third year, and that's when the spike starts coming up. But also what's interesting is that, you know, by doing a 10-year extension, which now keeps him on the team for 12 years, I mean, you have the chance now for Russell Wilson to get a contract that can top it. Deshaun Watson probably can do two deals that eventually can top it, and Dak Prescott could probably do two deals too that possibly can top it.
We'll see if that's something that matters to him or not, or if he'll just be happy with what he's got. In your experience, John, not many 10-year deals have gone through the whole way. Do you think this one will?
I think so. I mean, again, and of course, you would hope that he doesn't get angry and say, I want to redo the deal, because, again, that's not going to happen. But, yeah, the problem is that, you know, once they start getting the new TV contracts and that, you know, the cap is going to rise dramatically, and that should start going in 2022. Like, for example, I was just looking at the numbers, and, you know, there's the thought that the cap in 2022 is going to be, you know, $22.78 million, and he has a $31 million cap. That's 13.8% of the cap. You know, the key for a team is making sure you try not to go over 15% of the cap on one player, and that one player would be a quarterback.
Right. If you're going to do it, that would be the guy to do it, and we'll see if those cap numbers go up or not. That's going to be an interesting thing to play out in wake of this pandemic and the long-term ramifications of it. But again, if you're the Chiefs, I mean, you know, you won your first Super Bowl in 50 years. It's hard to think that this is anything but a good deal. I can't imagine anyone in Kansas City is upset about this.
No, I think they all feel pretty good about it. And in fact, even Andy Reid just had his press conference, and he wore his best Tommy Bahama shirt in celebration.
Yeah, I mean, his job's he's a much better coach with a quarterback like that, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, that's the thing that I thought was so unfair, you know, because, you know, he's such a good coach. And, you know, he gets criticism of never winning the big game in the Super Bowl. But, you know, he had Donovan McNabb at quarterback who was good but not great. And it's like, well, now he has the quarterback who's great. And guess what? He's got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, he does. And maybe in line for more than one.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I mean, you can see by setting this up, they've tried to set it up, maybe in a little bit like the Tom Brady way, because there's a couple spikes in his cap to take it into the high 50s. But for the most part, a lot of these deals, you know, try to keep everything together is like, you know, it's, you know, 39 million, 41 million cap, 44. I mean, I think it's a team friendly deal, but it's a good deal for both.
It's definitely a good deal for both. And the Chiefs, look, it's the one, you know, we talk about it all the time. It's the one position, if you've got a good one, keep him. I mean, do not, there's no reason to go back and start looking for another one if you've got someone, and they've got someone.
Oh, no question about it. And so now we'll see what this does with, I don't think this has any effect on Dak Prescott, because he's not going to be up there in that category, and nor is he going to be. You know, he's going to be in that $35 million range. But I think, you know, it may give a little bit of a spike to Deshaun Watson.
May. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's hard at this point, sitting here talking to you today, based on the brief body of work, it would be hard for anyone to walk into the room and say, look, I deserve more than Patrick Mahomes is making.
Exactly.
That may change in the matter of a couple of years, but I don't know that anyone can necessarily say that right now.
No, not right now. But then when the cap starts going up, 15, 20 million a year, whatever it's going to be, you know, that's when you can start asking for it. Because a lot of times what happens, it's not a matter that you're paid in relationship to where you are ranked in the quarterback. It's when you have the opportunity to negotiate.
Well, and Russell Wilson was the highest paid guy for about 15, 16 months. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. No. And you knew that Mahomes was going to get something in the $40 million range. It was just, okay, you take the 13 and a half or whatever it is in the first couple of years, and then you try to get the more coming back in years 3, 4, 5, and 6. Now, in baseball, it's starting to look very messy. You've got four teams that still either don't have their tests back yet, there seems to be more concern from the players as far as that goes. But it's messed up as far as, you know, you come here and you want to make sure that the players are safe, and, you know, they don't know what's going on. Like yesterday, one of the teams, you know, the tester didn't even show up.
That had to inspire a lot of confidence, right?
Yeah.
You would assume, you just keeping a list of keeping an eye on the players who are opting out as more and more are doing it. I'll tell you one thing that was fun today, though, I got to say, is hearing Rick Riz talk about the Mariners and going through their workouts over there at Safeco Field over there at T-Mobile Park.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting the taste of it a little bit, but I agree with you, John, and we've talked about this. There's still a lot that can happen before first pitch is thrown.
Oh, yeah. But you can see a growing mistrust from the players to baseball. I mean, I think that...
there's no doubt about that. I mean, that was hammered home by the way this agreement was worked out, and then the comments that Rob Manfred made a couple days ago. You've managed to... I don't know that the players' union was ever weak, because it's never shown weakness, but... You managed to make them super committed, so I mean, we'll see what happens if they get through the 60-game stretch, all right. But it's going to lead to, we've talked about it, a cold, cold winter to come, and there's going to be issues for baseball to deal with.
How do you look at the situation in the National Football League? The players are being adamant about not having any preseason games, and you know, it still looks like the NFL wants to have two preseason games. So a disagreement on that, but I think that's all resolvable.
Well, I mean, you'd think so, but I think that, you know, you're talking about a pretty significant difference right there. Resolvable, yes, but I mean, easily resolvable, we'll see. It depends. You know, the players in the NFL, of course, have never been particularly good at drawing a hard line, but, you know, this might be one to do it. The NFL will argue, the Players Association will argue that, you know, we don't want to have to stop and start, and there's just, you know, they made the simple point, I guess, in looking at the story, that the NFL has not provided a medical reason for insisting on two preseason games. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fair question.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they want to. Standpoint. Yeah, and the question is like, okay, the way I've watched some of the things that the players have been doing, I think they've been pretty smart about it because, you know, they wanted to have a period at the end of June where you can have a mini camp, and they were wise in not doing that. And they're right now resisting the idea of having some players come in 7 days before. That one I think they should consider. My trade-off is, okay, have some of the players come in from before so they can get tested, get integrated, and all that stuff, and then eliminate the preseason games.
Yeah, the idea of what they talked about was something like a 50-day training camp without preseason games made sense. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe they'll go back to that. I think they made a very good argument against having the preseason games.
I do too. I mean, again, there's going to be more injuries in those games. We saw that in 2011 when there were the preseason games with no off-season programs, more Achilles tears, more ACL tears, more hamstring injuries. So I think that's good. And, of course, it's always good to have our daily dose of the Groz with Dave Crosby.
John, be safe. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. And, of course, we will be back tomorrow at 10. It's the John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.